It's so good to see you here today. We're glad you're here. And these events coming up today, we've got a team back there getting ready to go serve homeless children a meal today. Dr. O'Keary is going to be traveling this week to Abuja for a conference, and so we want to pray for him as he's going back to Nigeria, taking some vital things over there. Masako, you have some very dear people here with you. You have the rose amongst the thorns of her brothers. Three brothers, and then there was Kathy. Owen, career missionary, now a counselor. She and her husband, Rick, they live in Texas, but they've served in South America, Tanzania, and Africa. And our daughter, Claire, is following in their footsteps, missionary, she and her husband. And y'all have got two children, right? Three children. And you got the youngest here with you in the back, ruling the roost. So they're here. Make sure you greet them today. We're glad to have them today. If you're our guest, we're glad you're here. We need to know if you want to be baptized next Sunday afternoon. We're going to go take over the north end of the beach and do our baptism 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So look forward to that. Our special guests today, Ross and Kason White are ministering in a Muslim country. And we'll not say that on tape. Many of you know the country, but we're going to try not to say that word today. But we've invited them here. They're jet lagging. They just got in Friday night at 11:50. And so their bodies have not caught up yet. But they're here today. This is Teresa and Thomas' youngest son, Ross. Y'all know our long-term relationship with the White family. And Teresa's been with us to Africa. We've done all sorts of things together. We're glad you're here, Teresa. But Ross and Kason, they are with YWAM, and I'll tell you a little bit about that mission organization throughout the world. We don't have anything to hand out to you today about them. I will this week email you their information, how you can get in touch, see what YWAM does, and how you can get in touch with them personally. And if you decide that you would like to invest in their ministry going forward, and because they do this completely from donations from friends and family all over the world. So hear them prayerfully today. Ross, Kason, come on up here where they can see you. And a good-looking couple, too.
I just really appreciate the opportunity to come and kind of share a little bit about what we do and what God is doing in the nations of the earth. You know, it's easy. You know, we grew up both here in Georgia, and we kind of have a really limited worldview and scope of what God's doing here. And then when I got to college, I realized, like, man, there's a whole world out there, and God is about the nations of the earth and seeing Jesus glorified in those nations. So, yeah, I just want to share a little bit about that today. I want Kason to come up here so you can just see her. We met at the University of Georgia. We're both dogs. I don't know if this is dogs country or eagles country. I don't know. But go dogs. I haven't been able to say that to a crowd in a couple years now. So you can probably go back down. Love you. That's my beautiful wife. Yeah, I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord if he can just speak through me today, you know? And maybe there's something I say that resonates in your heart, or hear a little bit about what God's doing. You know, testimonies are powerful, and it encourages us to share our faith even more. When I hear something that God's doing in someone else's life or somewhere else, it really encourages me to be bold with the gospel. So, Lord, we just ask that today, yeah, Lord, I just say, I'm weak, God, and I need your strength. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me. Lord, I don't really know what you want me to say, but I ask that whatever it is, Holy Spirit, that you would you would touch people's hearts with it, Lord. As we even look at the word a little bit, I ask that you would penetrate hearts with the truth of the gospel, Lord, the truth of what you desire of us, Father. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. So we live in a nation in the Middle East. We've lived there since January of 2018. We moved there together, you know, 5 months after we got married, you know, and we've lived there for 19 months now, just over a year and a half. And now we're back in the States for a short furlough, and then we'll be going back into the Middle East about 2 months. Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about what God's primary concern and focus is, you know, and that is the glory of God. God really cares about Jesus being glorified. And like I said earlier, it's easy for us to think in terms of like right here in this little room, or right here in this little community. And absolutely, you are called to this community and to be a bold witness for the gospel. But there are people on the earth that have no access to the gospel, and they deserve the gospel. Jesus desires for these people to hear the gospel. In Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk in the Bible, chapter 2, verse 14, it says, it's a prophecy, and it says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. And I haven't like dug into like the Hebrew of this, but in English, I understand that it says, as the waters cover the sea. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, the waters completely cover the sea, 100%. So what the Lord is saying, that there's a day coming that the whole earth is going to be 100% saturated with the glory of God. And that's exciting, right? Right now, there's many places in the earth that God is not receiving glory. In my nation, there's 81 million people and about 5 million Christians, or sorry, about 5,000 Christians. 81 million people and 5,000 believers, people who call on the name of Jesus. That is 0.001% of people who know God and worship Him. And that's not okay that the Lord isn't being worshiped. Honestly, the primary thing that Kason and I do every single day is worship and pray. We do a lot of worship and prayer. Because if you think about it, there's 81 million people in our nation, 18 million people in our city, and Jesus isn't receiving glory from these people. And He desires for people to give Him worship. He is not apathetic about His glory in the nations. Coming first from our lives, our personal relationship with the Lord, it glorifies God. But there are people in the nations who have no access to His name, no access to His good news, the gospel, and they aren't giving Jesus the worship and glory He's deserving of. And it is so powerful for just a few believers, you know, a few local people, a few local believers gathered with a few Americans, you know, or Canadians or Australians or whoever is in our city. I'm going to accidentally say my country. It's going to be okay. But it's really hard not to. Our nation, our city, our country. But yeah, so it is so powerful for believers to just come together and call on the name of the Lord, to just tell Jesus how worthy He is. What we do is we just gather and we pray. It's so simple. You know, like people think missionary work is so like incredibly like, I don't even know. It's like, so you hear stories of epic stories on the mission field. Like what we do day to day is actually pretty mundane. You know, it's pretty normal. What Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India, and she says, the missionary life is simply a chance to die. I like to change it a little bit and say, the missionary life is simply a chance to be a Christian. And that just means, like, we're not anything special. All we did is move overseas, and we're being a Christian in a place where there aren't many Christians. And what I think about my primary occupation every single day when I wake up, and it's just being a friend with Jesus in a place that He doesn't have many friends. Think about that. God is all about relationship. He's all about being in relationship with the people that He created. You know, it's what He wanted in the garden, was just to be in relationship with man, with you, with those people that I walk by on the street every single day. But He's not in relationship with them. All we're doing as missionaries is being friends with Jesus in a place that He doesn't have many friends. So when we sit there and we worship and we praise the Lord hours a week, we can think, it gets mundane, it gets hard, but we can actually think and envision, like, you know, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's a real person on a real throne. And I am in relationship with Him. And He is so pleased that I am intentionally giving Him my emotions, my adoration, my praise. And this is how you glorify Him. I'm in relationship with God. And that is what He desires. And that is powerful in a place where every single day, five times a day, 81 million people bow down to a God who cannot hear and cannot see. And they give their worship to that God. They give their worship to that God. And there's just a few people gathered in a room, a few local believers gathered in a room, just praying in their weakness. Like, hey, God, have your inheritance in our nation. I have some notes. I'm so bad at staying on notes. I just ramble. I'm not a preacher. I'm not very eloquent in my words. But yeah, I'm just going to keep sharing. Yeah, so it's easy for us to think, just, you know, as we follow the Lord every day and in the mundaneness of our lives, a lot of times that, you know, the earth is spinning aimlessly into eternity, you know, but that's actually not true. There's an actual day approaching. If you read the biblical narrative, it talks about this day. It's called the day of the Lord. There's a real day coming when everybody will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for their life. And those, and it says that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead and a resurrection of the living. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ will receive eternal life. Those who have not put their faith in Jesus will receive eternal death and separation from God, right? Well, it's easy to think that the earth, like that the Lord came and put the earth into existence and He's spinning the earth and He's very hands off. But that's actually not the case at all. God is so intricately involved in your everyday life. And I want to share some stories today and just to show you how God is not apathetic about what's going on in the earth right now. Not here in Savannah or in my city in the Middle East or all over the globe, right? There are people that have no access to God, but God is not apathetic. He's not indifferent. He's actually being patient. Because right now, there are millions of people who deserve death, right? We know the gospel, right? Before we accepted Christ, before we put our faith in the finished work of the cross, we were enemies to God. We were deserving of death. God, right now, is still pumping air into people's lungs who right now hate Him, right? We were enemies with God. But right now, in His patience, in His kindness, He is still giving breath to these people in my city, in my nation, who every day bow down to a God that does not exist. He is so patient. He is so kind. Why? Because He desires for all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And on the day of the Lord, on the day of judgment that is quickly approaching, you know, there's a sense of urgency that we should live with in our lives. We were given a commission to go and make disciples of all nations. We should live with urgency. Why? Because God really desires these people right now who do not know Him to know Him. I'm actually so excited to hear that you guys are like actively doing outreach and that it's like encouraged, you know, from the stage, from leaders in your church. Like, hey, we've got a community right outside. Let's go share with them. Like, let's go share the gospel with them. It's actually really common, you know, in Western Christianity to just be a Christian and never actually tell anybody you're a Christian, you know, to never actually share your faith. And maybe it's encouraged a lot of times, but people don't actually do it. And later, I want to just read a couple of scriptures and talk and encourage you. It's so important to share. So important to share your faith. So, why did I move to the Middle East? Kason and I moved to the Middle East for pretty much, one reason. And that is because right now, Jesus isn't receiving glory among this people. He isn't receiving glory among a nation with 81 million people in it. And He deserves the glory of every nation, tribe, and tongue. I'm going to read a verse out of the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9. And it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal, He's talking about Jesus. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a priest or a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. It says that Jesus was slain and purchased for God men from every single tribe, tongue, people, and nation all over the earth. He bought them with his own blood. And it's a crazy thought to think, like, hey, Jesus has an inheritance waiting for him in my nation, and he doesn't have it right now. Think about that. There's something that Jesus wants. There's something that God wants, and he doesn't have it yet. That's a crazy thought to me, because he desires to be in relationship with my friends and that I know that are unbelieving right now. He desires them. He really wants to know them. He purchased them with his own blood on the cross. And he doesn't have them right now, right? And that's why we go, so that we can share about what Christ did for them, so that they can enter into a relationship with God, because there is an inheritance waiting on Jesus in the nations of the earth. Let's read one more verse. I just want to give you the picture of the end of the story. This stuff, the book of Revelation, most of the stuff, it hasn't happened yet. Chapter 7, verse 9. This is what the end of the story is. And now we're working towards that right now. Chapter 7, verse 9, book of Revelation. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could ever count, from every nation and tribe and people and tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. So we see at the end of all things, there are people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation worshiping Jesus. But there's a disconnect right now, because there are a little over 3 billion people living right now who have little to no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it very clear, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by the hearing of the proclamation of the gospel. Someone has to go to these people, and someone has to share about the God who loves them, who has a son, who sent his own son to die on a cross so that they could have a restored relationship with God. And there's a place in the earth, many of you probably have heard of it, it's called the 1040 window. It's just an imaginary box on a map, and it stretches from North Africa through the Middle East into Asia. And in that box, that imaginary region in the earth, there are about 2 billion Muslims, yes. 2 billion Muslims, and in that place, there's extreme lack of access to the gospel. And there are very few foreign workers, missionaries, who go to this region of the earth to preach the gospel and to share with people. Right now, the statistics show that there's about one missionary for every 405,000 Muslims in the Middle East and in Asia. That is a crazy imbalance. There's a great imbalance. Now, this imaginary box, right? The Middle East, North Africa, Asia. There are millions, billions of people who have zero access to the gospel. And in this verse, we see that those people will receive the gospel. And right now, God is preparing people, maybe even some people in this room, to take the gospel to those people, because God desires for those people to be in relationship with him. Thanks for the water. That's helpful. There are places in the earth that have no access to the gospel, and God desires for his son Jesus to have a witness among these people. So I just want to talk a little bit about my nation and then share some stories. That's probably way more interesting. Like, when I'm listening to someone on stage, I just want to hear stories. It stirs up faith, right? So in my nation, like I said, there's 81 million Muslims, essentially, and there's about 5,000 believers, 5,000 Christians. That's like nothing. It's like literally, it's so little. And this is a region where you read in the book of Acts, most of the book of Acts took place in my country. Paul planted churches all up in my country, right? But there's little to no believers there now. It's really crazy. But the Lord hasn't forgotten about this nation. In my nation, there is not really a multiplication of believers right now. You know, you hear, you talk about discipleship, you hear about multiplication. There's just addition to the church in my nation right now. There's something called the Arka Kapusa. It means the back door. They say the back door in my nation. Gosh, occasion. In my nation, the back door. So basically what that means is there are people getting saved in my nation, but there are also people at almost the same rate leaving the faith. You know, they say, I've heard someone say, everybody gives different statistics. They say every year about 400 people get saved and about 200 people leave the faith. You know, it's a dark nation. There are ancient principalities and powers and demonic forces that are ruling over this nation and are holding people. You read, I just read the words of the Apostle Paul like so differently now, living overseas and actually living in a place where people's minds are so darkened by the enemy. They just can't comprehend the gospel. When you share the gospel with them, their minds are completely shut off from the gospel. You know, Paul says that the gospel, what does he say in Corinthians? The gospel is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. You share the gospel with some people on the streets, and they're like, that's ridiculous. God can't have a son. Islam systematically, in the Quran, it systematically destroys and breaks down Christianity. It's a book of lies that hold people in captivity. Because what Islam teaches is that God, it literally says this, God cannot be a father, God cannot have a son, and Jesus did not die on a cross. And the truth is, God is a father. God has a son, and his name is Jesus. And he was crucified on a cross so that we could have life and restored relationship with the Father. And the lies of Islam are so pervasive in this culture. The culture is so influenced by Islam. It is so dark. And you even feel it when you fly in on a plane and you land down. I feel a heaviness come over me. I really do. But the thing is, we have the light of Christ in us. We have the light of Christ in us. And if we can understand the authority of Jesus living in us, we can learn how to be a light for him in the darkness. And darkness is always overcome by light. We've actually seen this backdoor thing, this like lack of multiplication, people leaving this faith. We've seen it in our community. We had a guy in our community. He came to the prayer room. You know, he showed interest in the faith. We invited him to our Bible study. He started studying the Bible. He got saved, you know. And then a couple of weeks later, something through a series of events, he turns on us and he says, hey, I'm turning all of you guys in to the cops. And I know exactly why you're here. It's illegal to be a missionary in my nation, by the way. I should have mentioned that. It is definitely illegal. And right now, they're systematically finding foreign missionaries and deporting them from my nation, which is the reason I'm trying not to associate my country with my name on anything posted online. So this guy comes into the faith, right? And then he immediately, like a month later, he says, hey, I'm going to turn you into the cops. And he just disappears, goes off the grid. It's very common for people. It's an honor-shame culture. He got shamed, and he immediately deleted us all from Instagram, deleted all of our numbers, and disappeared. Nothing happened for like a month, and we're like, all right, good. He didn't turn us into the cops. And then one day, I get all these texts, and apparently he did turn us into the cops, and there was an article written about us in the newspaper giving the exact address of our house of prayer, and we had to shut that down. We had an English club that we're using to help people come learn English and form relationships. We had to shut that down. It's the enemy at work. This is what you see in our nation, the back door. That's what they call it. So as you pray for my nation, I'm just trying to give prayer points. Pray that the Lord would give endurance, steadfastness in the faith. As people come in, that they would take root and grow and be like that seed that bears, you know, 30, 60, 100 times more fruit, not the one that's easily snatched away, right? So that's one way you can really be praying for my nation. In my nation, it's really dangerous to become a Christian. It's very dangerous to convert from Islam to Christianity. a lot of people, you know, from their family, they suffer severe persecution. Most young believers take some years to even tell their family they became a Christian because they're scared. And I don't blame them, right? Because their family, well, some of them will beat them. They'll be thrown out of the family, kicked out of the family. Some of them, they will try to be killed because they've converted to Christianity. There's a story I heard just like a month ago. One of my friends who's doing CP, church planting stuff in the middle of our nation, he says that there was a girl who came to his church, slowly, you know, decided to follow Jesus. She decided to follow Jesus. About 3 months later, she told her family, or she told her mother, it's like, hey, I've become a Christian. It's a very bold thing, you know, tell your family. So her mother didn't seem very interested at that point. A week later, they were going to a family vacation, and her mother's sitting in the back seat and just very nonchalantly says, hey, I have an announcement, everybody. Our, you know, your daughter, our sister, has converted, and now she's a Christian. Her dad pulls the car over, takes her out of the car, and beats her for about 5 minutes, throws her back in the car, and they keep going. They don't talk to her again. You know what the crazy thing is, though? That girl, she persevered. She endured under persecution. And her family, one by one, is now getting saved because she sees that they see the love of Christ in her eyes when they look at her. They see the love of Jesus, even among persecution. There is nothing that displays the worth, beauty, and value of Jesus more than sacrificial obedience to his commandments, to love, sacrificial obedience to his command, to make disciples among all nations. When people see, even in America, if you decide to go to the nations, your friends over years, your unsaved friends, they'll get saved. They'll see you. They'll see that you leave everything, a career in America, to go and waste your life overseas in obscurity. And they think, why the heck would you do that? And you just keep telling them the same thing. Hey, Jesus is worthy. I'm so in love with Jesus. He's worthy of the inheritance in the nations. And there's nothing else I would rather have in this life than to just spend it in obedience to my King, in relationship with him, in the hardest and darkest places where he doesn't have any friends. Sacrificial obedience is such a testimony to the worth and beauty and value of Jesus. Yeah, so I've kind of told you about how dark our nation is. Now I want to tell you some awesome stories about what's happened. You know, it's been hard. Yeah, it's been a hard year and a half for sure. It's not easy living there. But it's actually been probably the most fun year and a half of my life. It's been really hard and really fun because you experience a nearness with God in the nations that I've never experienced here in the States. I don't know why. I don't know. Just being with him, where he is, you know, God is in the nations. John Piper says to embrace Jesus is to embrace the nations with him. So God is doing something amazing. And I just want to say that me and Kaysen and I, to be correct English, are weak, broken human beings. We're not really that talented or anything. Kaysen can sing really good. I can play the drums a little bit. But other than that, we're just weak vessels. The only difference between us and any other Christian who lives for the Lord is that we said yes to go to the nations, you know? And now that we're there, I'm realizing more and more how weak and incapable I am, right? But the thing is, God doesn't need strong, powerful, you know, ministry machines. He just needs someone who loves Jesus and is willing to be obedient, right? And what did he say in Matthew 28? Go to the nations, make disciples, right here. Share with your friends. That's being obedient. When you share with your friends at school, when you share with your friends in your workplace, when you share with your friends at the gym is like my mission field, man. That's like where I go in. All my friends at the gym, just share with them what God is doing. So I just want to say, like, this is God. I'm realizing more than ever. Like, your words don't mean anything. The gospel, it just falls on deaf ears, no matter how eloquently you say it, which is good, because I'm not very eloquent in my speech, but I know the gospel and I can share it, right? But God is the one who's doing it. God is the one who's saving people. We had a guy, I just want to tell some stories. We had a guy who came into our community through this English club I mentioned earlier. He wants to learn English. So we just come and hang out, speak in English, and afterwards we'll go get chai, we'll get tea, and we'll talk, you know, talk about things. And we get to share the gospel with this guy. My friend Dan, he gave this guy a gospel tract, and the guy read it, and we didn't think anything of it. And over the span of like 3 months, we start realizing like, hey, this guy is like showing a lot of interest in Christianity. Like, this is a person of peace. He's really open. So like, we pull him aside and he's like, hey man, like, do you want to like follow Jesus? He says, I am following Jesus. We're like, what? He's like, oh, I'm a Christian. We're like, we're so dumb. Like, what are we doing? It just realizes like, wait, what happened? You know? And he says, oh, Dan gave me that gospel tract and it said that Jesus was crucified, died for my sins, and that I need to trust in him to get eternal life. And I believed it. And now I follow Jesus. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, we've been thinking so hard, like, oh, this is ministry, you got to do this. He needs to go through a discovery Bible study. And the guy's already following Jesus. We don't know what we're doing. All we did was be obedient. And God did the work in his life, right? Praise God. There was my friend who's doing a church plant in our city on the other side of our city told me this story. I was so encouraged by this. We were hanging out probably 3 weeks ago, and he said, hey, someone got saved today at church. I was like, let's go. Tell me the story. And he said, well, she came to church, or actually, her sister lives in Canada. Her sister contacted the church in my city and said, hey, my sister is interested in Christianity. Can you please reach out to her and share the gospel with her? Because her sister was a Christian. So this girl who lives in our city, this Muslim, comes to church and tells them what happened. So basically, this girl has a dream of Jesus. And in the dream, Jesus says, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you need me to receive eternal life and be in relationship with God. She doesn't know any Christians. She literally doesn't know a Christian, but she knows that there are Christians who live in Canada. So she called her sister who lives in Canada. Her sister said, well, there are churches in your city. So she calls, she literally looks it up online, calls a church and says, hey, go to this place. She goes there and gets saved. That's crazy. The thing is, even, this is amazing, this gets me, even when there is a lack of a witness, God is raising up his own witness, because he is not apathetic about his glory in the nations. He is not apathetic about the fact that there are people dying and going to hell every day with no access to his gospel. So he's sending dreams. He's sending visions because he is seeking and saving that which is lost. This is an awesome story. This is a crazy story. So I heard this one like 2 weeks ago. A guy was in the most southern part of my nation, and he was sharing the gospel with a family, and they didn't care. They were like watching TV and were like, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, cool, right? So he gets done sharing. They're clearly not interested. And he's like, okay, I'll leave a book with him. So he pulls out a book, and it said something really boring, like doctrines of Christianity or something like that. And he apologizes, and he says, this is a really boring book, but it has the gospel in it. You guys should read it. And then all of a sudden, the girl, the youngest girl in the family, she starts freaking out and saying, like pointing at the book. And he's like, whoa, it's not that interesting of a book, I promise. But she says, no, you don't understand. Last night, I woke up at 2 a.m. and there was a pillar of fire in my room, stretching from the ceiling to the floor. And there was a man standing in that pillar of fire. And he pointed to a book and he said, read that book. And they disappeared. And that's the book he told me to read. Isn't that crazy? Jesus came and appeared to this girl on a pillar of fire and told her that there was someone coming to tell them about the truth of the gospel. Jesus is not apathetic about his glory in the nations. He is pursuing. He is seeking. He's the one who leaves the 99 to pursue the one. I'm so encouraged when I hear these stories. There's a lot more stories that I could share. I'll share one more story. This didn't happen less than a week ago. You know, it's like people, you come back home and people want to know how many people got saved when you're there. Like two, you know? And one of them was last week, I think. You know, it's like, it's crazy. So my friend Dan, we do a lot of ministry together. He called me and he said, hey man, I'm going to meet with somebody at Starbucks. You want to come? I was like, yeah, sure. So we meet with this guy, and I was actually with Dan when he had shared with this guy. So basically, our life is really simple. We pray, worship, learn the language, and we share the gospel. So Dan and I especially love to share the gospel just with anybody we can. My language isn't nearly as good as his language yet, so he shares a lot more than me, but I'm there with him, you know? So Dan shared this with this guy in the metro when we were just going to eat food one day, and he gave him a Bible, gave him an Injil, a New Testament, and this guy texted Dan a month later and says, hey, let's meet up. I'm interested in Christianity. So we meet up with this guy. This is last Monday, 6 days ago. I'm still like so stoked about this. So we're sitting there. We have a little small talk with this guy. And then we ask him like, hey, did you read the Bible? And he said, yeah, I read the whole thing in a week. It was great. I like it a lot more than the Quran. There's life in it. I feel that the term they always use is good energy. I feel good energy from it, you know? And we're like, that's called the Holy Spirit. And he's like, I know, I read about him, you know? So, and it's crazy. So we start sharing with him a little bit more. We share our testimony. Testimonies are so powerful because everybody in this room, you were once lost and now you're found. You were once blind and now you see. That's a crazy testimony. You can share that with your friends and it will change their lives when they have a tangible experience they can think of and associate it with the gospel, right? So we share with this guy and we say, hey, like, you know, do you believe these things are true? And he says, yeah, I believe all this is true. And we're like, okay, do you want to follow Jesus? And he says, I already am following Jesus. I read the Bible. And we're like, okay. So he leaves because he has to go meet a friend. And Dan, like, flops down in front of me in the chair and is like, did he just get saved? And we're like, I think. And then both of our next thoughts was he a secret police? Because it's like, that was too easy, you know? And it's very common to get a trap. Like, people come, set you up, preach the gospel, they'll take you away, right? So we were like, you know, was that real, you know? And as far as we know, the guy got saved, you know? So that's two people, right, that I can say got saved since we've been there. So, but that's crazy. Praise God, right? One by one, the Lord is pursuing people. And you know, we didn't do anything crazy. Dan, we were going to eat Iranian food, actually, and in another part of our country or in our city. And Dan just shared with this guy on the metro, gave him a Bible. You know, we didn't think anything of it. We were just trying to be a witness for Jesus the best we can. And God did all the work from there. For the first time in human history, I would say, this is a true statement, for the first time in human history, the completion of the Great Commission is actually attainable. You know, it's actually in our grasp. Right now, you can get on an airplane and be anywhere in the world within 24 hours. That's crazy. There are places that have no access to the gospel, but it's not because we can't get there. We can be anywhere in the world within 24 hours. You know, think about the Apostle Paul with an airplane. Like, the world would already be saved right now. All it takes is someone getting on a plane, choosing, saying yes to Jesus, saying, hey, I'm willing to go and live a life of obscurity among a people who don't even want me to be there. You know? So I've been thinking a lot lately about, you know, Jesus. He came to a people, the people he actually created, you know? And they didn't know him. They didn't want him. They rejected him, but he still served them. He bowed low. And he served them, and he died on a cross for them, because he loved them. And in the same way, it is possible for the Great Commission to be fulfilled. It is possible for these people who have no access to the gospel right now to hear about the man who died for them, to hear the opposite of the lies that they have in their worldview, because God is a father. This is my favorite thing to say when I'm sharing with people. It's like, hey, you know, God's a father. Like, he's a father. He's your father. And he really loves you. You know, it doesn't have to be like crazy theology stuff. The power of the gospel. You know, in Corinthians, Paul says, like, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. It's like, I don't know anything else but that. It's like, there's power in the simplicity of the gospel. And right now, Jesus desires for people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation to worship him. He desires for people in my nation to be a part of his family. And when I get tired of living in a nation I can't barely speak the language, and when I get burnt out and like, oh gosh, this is horrible. What I think about is that day, that Revelation 7 day, when I am going to be standing with Jesus on the sea of glass, and there are going to be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And I'm going to hear people from my nation's language right over there. They're going to be singing praises to Jesus. Why? Because people were obedient to Jesus to go get on an airplane, fly overseas, and simply share Jesus with them. So my encouragement to you is to really ask God why you shouldn't get on an airplane and fly to a nation, live in obscurity there. You know, maybe not be able to post on social media for security reasons. You know, it's really hard, you know, to do this. Actually, I barely post on Instagram anyway. But for some people, it's really hard, you know, to have to live a life of obscurity in a nation, in a culture now in America, who all we care about is getting other people to like us, you know, how many likes we get on Facebook and Instagram. But what would it actually be like if, you know, you chose to lay down your life in this life, suffer a little bit, and to gain a reward for eternity? Because Jesus, the sacrifices, however big or small you make now, Jesus remembers them for eternity. He never forgets them. Literally, even like, I remember just in college, just like giving $5 to a homeless guy and thinking, Jesus, he'll remind me of that a billion years from now in the New Jerusalem. He never forgets these little acts of kindness, these little acts of obedience, these little acts of love for him. So my encouragement to you, I'm running out of time, but 2 Corinthians 5 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it talks about being an ambassador of Jesus. As one making an appeal, as God making an appeal through us to be reconciled, to be in relationship with God. So my encouragement to you is preach the gospel. You know? People have to hear the gospel. They have to know about Jesus. And it has to flow out of a relationship with God. Like, I have to preach the gospel. I have to share with my friends. They have to know about Jesus. And you have an opportunity. Right now, there are people in your life who need the gospel. You have unsafe friends. I know you have unsafe friends right here in Savannah. They need Jesus. And God put you in their path for a reason. And I know it's scary sometimes to share with people, you know, but that's the enemy lying to you, because there's really nothing to lose. Tell people about Jesus, because you're living for eternity. We're living for the memories that we're going to, you know, recollect with Jesus about a billion years from now. Jesus has put people in your life because they need you. In Colossians, it says that Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that's true. Christ in you is your hope of glory, like a resurrection body. But at the same time, Christ in you is your neighbor's hope for also receiving a resurrection body through faith in Jesus, because you have Christ in you and you can share him with your friends. You can share him with your neighbors. And God is so, think about these stories I've shared. God is so intricately a part of your life and the lives of your people around you. And he has not forgotten about them. He has put them in your life for a reason. Be an ambassador. Share the gospel. Preach the gospel. And it all has to come out of love. If there's anything I can encourage you with, do first is, hey, be in love with Jesus. You know, talk to him. Pray to him. Like, spend long hours on your knees with him. Just fall in love with Jesus. And when you do that, you can't help but share, because, you know, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So that's kind of all I have. I don't know how we end here. Do you? Do you have, like, ministry time, or do we just... So does someone want to come up and, like, play keys or something?
Isn't it refreshing? Get the raw thing here today. We're going to pray for Ross and Case in the, at the end. We are going to have ministry time. And if you'd like to come for prayer today, I have two questions for you. Are you glad you've heard what you heard today? And has God spoken to you today? And do you know more how to pray for them in this mystery country where they are? And what has he spoken to you today? Ross has given us a personal challenge. A personal challenge. What is he saying to you about your life? Kathy and I were in seminary at the same time. The first 2 years I was in seminary, during missions week, I would not go to the chapel because crazy people came out of there. Something happened when they heard people like this nut and telling stories about what God was doing and how the Holy Spirit was working. And I was afraid of that because I was afraid he was going to make me go to Africa. How about that, High Chief? And who would have thought it? You know, I just gave him a stack of Naira. It's worth about $10, but over there to take with him this week. Who would have thought that that would become the desire of my heart? I'd long for that. Some of you are listening to this man. You're watching these two that have gotten off of an airplane, still with jet lag, who come here to just open their veins and say to you, Jesus loves the world, for God so loved the world. And that's what they're investing their life in. Now, not everybody gets to go over there. Some of us have to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah and minister here. So what is he saying to you today? If you're here and you've never received Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day. If you've never accepted him, I sat in church services a long time before I got saved, before I came to know Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never received him. Today's the day. Why don't you come to him today? That little tap on your shoulder, that little thing you're feeling, that tug inside, that's not what you ate this morning. That's not the eloquence of this young man with his skinny jeans. It's not jeans.
Hey.
Whatever they are.
This is becoming all things to all people.
Yeah. Me and Dane are going to start wearing that. I knew you'd get grossed out there. If you've never received him, today's the day. If God is something that God's burned a hole in your pocket today, you need somebody to pray with you about, Dane, Kathy, Rick, Regina, and me, we'll all be here to pray with you today. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to open the altar, and you can come and let God do his God thing in your life. Okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for what we have seen and heard today. Thank you for the love of Christ, Lord, that constrains us to follow you, Lord. Now pray right now for all of us that we'll be obedient to what you're speaking to us today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Stir our hearts. Stir up the gifts in us. Lord, may we be obedient. Lord, ever since Ross stepped up there, he and Kason this morning, Lord, I've just been seeing pictures of our young people and our young adults especially leading the way in the gospel. People that you're touching their lives today. And I'm asking you, God, that we'll be obedient to you. Not dismiss what the God of all creation has come to do in us. Come, Lord, right now. Come, Holy Spirit. move in us right now. In the name of Jesus. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. As we continue to pray, check your email box this week. I'll send you this letter that'll give you the information about Ross and Kaysen and their ministry with YWAM. YWAM, Youth with a Mission. You'll see that. You'll get familiar. Those of you who aren't familiar with that organization, check that out. Please be praying for them as God pricks your heart to give financially. Pray for the High Chief as he goes out this week and be traveling. And for Kathy and Rick and their ministry in Texas. And all. Audrey needs some counseling while you're here. Yeah. Come on now, you're supposed to cooperate with me. And Claire, for you guys in your ministry, the Lord bless you. It's our custom here, but we've done this before for y'all, but we're going to do it again. Kaysen, if you and Ross would come up here, stand here, and we're going to anoint you and pray for you. And anybody like to come and lay hands on them, you can do that right now. So come on, those of you that want to do that. In fact, they may have a word they want to speak over you while you're here. Did the Lord speak to y'all today through the message brought today? Did it prick your heart? Did you get a little uncomfortable? Then you've heard the Holy Spirit speak today. We want to pray for y'all, anoint y'all. That's one of our customs when people come through to pray is we join in what God is doing. We're just agreeing with what God has done, what He's done sovereignly in y'all's lives, the way He brought you together and how you're here today. That's just miraculous. In every way. I bet your mom and daddy never thought you'd be doing this. Crazy Teresa, she thought she was probably thinking that a while back, but there was a time when she wasn't that crazy. And you've got a problem with your neck, right? Some pain there? Where is it? Okay, we want to... Somebody, Teresa, will you put your hand on that, you and Pam, right there on her neck? Okay. All right. I want to anoint you and pray right now. Lord, we're asking you for our sister right now, great physician Jesus, that you'll come with your power. Come right now and touch her neck and bring healing and restoration to her. Right now in Jesus' name and by your power. We anoint these two, Lord, as we put this oil upon them, Lord, we think of the Holy Spirit today who has engulfed them, who has baptized them, who has brought them into the kingdom, and who has sent them out. Lord, we join in that today. I pray, God, for power in their lives. I pray against the kingdom of darkness, because truly, Lord, they are dealing with ancient powers there in that place. God, I'm asking you for your protection of them, your protection of their team, your protection of their home, your protection of what they ride in and drive. Lord, I am asking you, you'll go before them, and Lord, you'll bring openness of the gospel to all that they come in contact with. Lord, that you'll go before them, that it'd be like the Red Sea parting there, and the Spirit of God to come in that place. In those places where in ancient times these great churches were planted, we're asking you to do that again, Lord. Do it again. Show them the places. Show them where to go and where not to go. Their right and their left. Show them the straight way. Open hearts, Lord. Bring together a multiplication. Yes. Lord, yes, Lord, remove the addition and move in with a multiplication. Raise up leaders, raise up more planters, raise up those who would give their lives, Lord, and join in this day, in this time. For such a time as this, Lord, you brought them to the kingdom for your power. Lord, I pray, too, you'll stir up the gifts in them. Lord, I pray you'll give them more gifts. more gifts of the Spirit, that by that the name of Jesus can be glorified and shown. Lord, I'm asking you for those signs and wonders. I'm asking you to validate where they go. Lord, to go ahead of them, to speak through those dreams, that you would join people with them. They'll come and be open to the gospel and know what God is doing at this time in the earth. Lord, we join with you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'll provide for them. Lord, I pray for these 2 months at home, Lord, will be very, very inviting times for them, as many more are invited in onto their team to cooperate with them financially and in their prayer support. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray for their parents. God, I pray that you'll save their parents from worry and bring them in. Every time that they start to worry, God, I'm asking you, Lord, they'll remember that Jesus has called them, and whom Jesus calls, Jesus guides and protects. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do y'all receive this prayer?
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name, we receive it.
Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.
Thank you guys so much.
All right. All right. We're through singing now. They'll be around if you want to ask them some questions and knock yourself out.
Yeah.